We shared last time on Peter and how God had ministered to him and in his encounter with God. Now we're going to close that now and enter into something different, going back to where we were. But I just want to pick up on that because many times we doubt. We encounter God and then we throw away our confidence because something did not happen the way we thought it should happen. You realize God is not your servant. God is your Lord. And God knows you better than you know yourself. You can live 50 lifetimes. God will still know you far better than you know yourself. And God knows also what's ahead. And what you may be experiencing here prepares you for what is ahead. And you can look at the scriptures and find that over and over again, that God prepares people from the day of that encounter. Now, it's not the only time that he will encounter you. He will continue to encounter you as you walk through this road. And if you don't throw away your confidence, one of the things you need to know, God will never, never, ever, ever forget you. And he will never forget what he's done. So when he said to Peter, thou art, you're Simon the son of John, you shall be called Cephas. From that day until the day Peter died, Jesus was faithful in every step of the way. It was not the only time, but it was the initial time of that encounter that God deposited something into his heart. And when they came to Caesarea Philippi and he challenged them again, and Peter said, you're the son of the living God. And when they came to the mountain of transfiguration and Peter said something silly. And then he said, everyone will leave you, but I won't. And all these times, Jesus not only protects you, he protects the investment in you, and then he tests whether you actually believe what he's deposited in you. The seed of the word of God will overcome the world. The earth will pass away. The heavens will pass away. But what? Not one jot or tittle of the promises of God, the promises that are here, and the promises that are prophetic to you. God will never forget. And you may get into trouble because of that, because God will test that. And many people in the test throw away their confidence. I don't think God works. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. You've tried working your life, it doesn't happen. Why don't you give Jesus a chance? So when you have a guy like Joseph, encountered by God as a young boy, did not even know what was happening. So in his lack of wisdom, began to tell his brothers his dream. And he got into trouble because of what God did and deposited in his life. So he went from the pit to the prison. Why? Because of the word. Now, the Bible says this about Joseph. Let me read it to you. Psalm 105. And verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant or a slave, whose feet they hurt with fetters and was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The word of God tested him. Many times we just want a comfortable life. God has never promised anybody a comfortable life. It's through multiple tribulations that we enter the kingdom. But God has promised you his presence and his goodness and his favor and his overcoming power. The reason we are called overcomers is because there's something to overcome. Life has to be lived. Life has to be overcome. And so we find Joseph, the Bible says his feet were set in fetters because of the word of God. God deposited something in his heart as a boy, and now he's in trouble because of that. And he was faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. Now, why did God allow him to go through that? Because God can see ahead. God knows what's going to happen 20 years from now. And the reason you'll find yourself in difficulty now is because 20 years from now, God's going to use you to do something, and he's training you for reigning. He trains you to reign in your life. Good preaching. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, Joseph, God was with Joseph when he was in the house of his Egyptian taskmaster. Everybody is going to have an Egyptian taskmaster. Many people don't like that. But if you're going to reign, you have to learn to serve. Many people want to be served, but they don't want to serve others. Christ is God, yet he washed men's feet. God washed human beings' feet. And he said, if I've done it to you, do it to one another. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. I'm Lord and teacher. They call him teacher and Lord. He said, no. I'm Lord first before I'm teacher. All right. Get it right. Yes, I'm a teacher. Yes, I'm Lord, but I'm Lord first. You call me teacher and Lord, and so it is. I'm Lord and your teacher, and yet I've washed your feet. If I'm God and I've washed your feet, you wash each other's feet. You're no greater than God. But this encounter thing, and you will find that everywhere in Scripture, that when you encounter God, God will protect his investment in your life. Not just protect his investment, protect your life. You will not die until he says so. There's a guy in the Bible who wanted to die. He's still not dead. So he went and he got angry, went and sat under a Bohutukawa tree and said, kill me. And he's still alive. He's still in heaven walking around. He wanted to die, but you're not dead until God says you're going to be dead. Are you okay? But when you encounter God, don't throw away your confidence, because God will watch over the investment that he's done and he's deposited in your life. You look at a guy named Samuel. You know, God called his name. He's a little boy, about 6-year-old Maori boy. He didn't even know it was God. Samuel went over to Eli and said to the Kamatua, did you call me? He said, no, I'll go back to sleep. But he had an encounter with God as a boy. But before that encounter, his mother had an encounter. He encountered God and gave birth to this boy. So when that prophetic word came this morning to Ruth, to Rose, God has already seen that. You prayed for that. You asked God for that. And God has given you sons. And God has done something in them through you, because before they arrived, you prayed. Before Samuel arrived, Hannah prayed. Hallelujah. He was a crazy little fella. Began to, you know, he wanted to be a priest. So he began to do priestly functions as a boy. That's illegal. You can't do that unless you're 30. He was just, you know, and he had a linen ephod. I don't know where he got the ephod from, but he was practicing to be a priest before he was even 30. And God let him be. He didn't do very much. All he did was give the whole nation a vision. Anointed the first king of Israel, then anointed the greatest king that ever lived. His name is King David. Outside of Jesus Christ, that's the greatest king that ever lived. But he encountered God as a boy. Some of you have been encountered by God, but you walk away thinking that your plan is better than God's plan. God has a plan to do you good, not evil, to give you a hope and a future. A future. Your plan will finish tomorrow. You just want a nice dinner today, a pound of butter and a piece of bread, and you think it's... Give God a break. So it's not just men, women that encounter God. A Moabitish woman who did not know God, just heard of the testimony of God through her mother-in-law and her husband now dead, and then she comes following this woman. And the woman said, go back home. She said, I'm not going to go home. Your God shall be my God. And when she arrived in Bethlehem, Judah, and Boaz came along and seen this foreign woman, said, who's the damsel? That's a woman that came with Naomi. And then he said to the woman, he said, I've heard great stories of your kindness. When it's time for lunch, don't go to another field to you stay here. But when it's time for lunch, when the boys have cooked the food, draw near and eat of the bread. You will find the bread of life here. My mother was a prostitute, but she found the bread of life, and I'm the product of that prostitute's womb. I know what it's like to be a stranger in another country. I'm a stranger in another country. My mother came from Jericho. You come from Moab. When it's time to eat, draw near and eat of the Samoan bread. Have some Samoan cocoa. Have some cocoa rice. Have a boil up. That woman encountered God through her mother-in-law, encountered God through this stranger in a different country, but encountered God. Ended up marrying this old man and then gave birth to Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David, who gave birth to Jesus Christ. God sees what's ahead. And when you encounter God and you find yourself gleaning in a field as a beggar, never forget God's looking ahead. You may be a beggar now, but you'll be a ruler here. You may be a prisoner now. You don't know where to go, but you're going to be next to Pharaoh here. Some people throw away their confidence. People, oh, well, what's good of holding on to this? And they realize they actually done themselves a disfavor. It's funny how people never blame themselves. They always blame somebody else or blame God. God has never done anything unkind to nobody. All he does is allow you to be tested because he has a greater plan to give you hope in the end. So you see this not just in men, but women. When she encountered him, it's the first man that has ever looked at her with pure love and not lust. And when she found out where she was, she gate crashed Simon's party. And came in with the alabaster jar. And all these Pharisees that were there with Simon the Pharisee. So what's she doing here? Doesn't he know what she's like? Or how do they know what she's like? Or maybe they were the ones that made her the way she's like. And then she came over and broke the alabaster jar, and everybody was offended. But she had encountered a man. And then he gave that parable to Simon. He said, Simon, two people were owed a particular man so much. One owed 50, the other owed 5 million. They were both forgiven. Who loved the man more? Simon said, I suppose it was the one that was forgiven more. And he said, you're right. You're right. You see this woman? I came in here. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't give me anything to wash my feet. She's coming here. She hasn't stopped kissing my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped it with her hair and broken alabaster to leave her alone. What she's doing is for my burial. And everywhere the gospel goes, lady, you're going to go with the gospel. Your name will go with the gospel for what you've done for this particular act. Doesn't matter your background, your ethnicity. God is no respecter of men. God's grace covers. Regardless of what you've done, it doesn't exhaust the mercy of the divine from everlasting to everlasting. His mercies are from everlasting. Before any human being turned up, his mercy was there. When all the human beings turned up, his mercy is there. There was no sin in that everlasting and no sin in that everlasting. But in between the two, there's a lot of sin and everything. But after all the sin is committed, there is still mercy. From everlasting to everlasting. His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. And when she came in the middle of the afternoon, because the women of the city did not like her. Even the women in the church did not like her. So she came, she thinking that she was going to be on her own. But there was a well sitting on the well. There was a well of life sitting on the well made by men. He said, can I have a drink? Can you imagine the humility of the Almighty? Can I have a drink? He's the author of life. He said, if you thirst, come unto me and drink. Come and buy. You don't have to pay with money, but may your soul delight itself in fatness. Come and eat and drink. It costs you nothing. And here is the one who created all the wells in the planet forever and ever. It's not only living well, but the wells that you dry up. Everything that has ever happened and all the water from then till now, from before then till now. He's the one that made it. And he said, can I have a drink? She said, you know the well is deep. Why didn't you bring your own bucket? And then he said, if you only knew, if you only knew, if you will just give me a chance of your life, if you only knew. I will not be the beggar. He'll be the beggar. She said, oh, well, why don't you give me this water then, so I don't have to come here every day. Go call your husband. He said, I've got no husband. He said, you're right, got no husband, but you're not just living with a man. But you've had 5 husbands. So now you're just living with a man you don't care less. It's a 6th man that you've had. That encounter. She came in the middle of the afternoon when nobody comes but her, but encountered And she went back to the very people that rejected her. She said, come see a man that has told me everything I've ever done. And they came. The disciples came, but the whole city came. The disciples said, I've got some food. He said, I'm all right. Did somebody give you any food? He said, my food is to do my Father's will. But there was an encounter. Jesus stayed 2 more days. Revival broke out. Why? Because a woman with a scarlet reputation encountered God. How many times has God encountered you, and yet you keep on throwing away your confidence, and then you realize again and again, and you try to come back at every time you come, He's still there. And if you would be faithful, you know, of all the characteristics that God could have called us, there's one thing at the end of it all. He said, thou good and faithful servant. How he's able to call us good is a miracle. Because the only good, even Paul said, I've got nothing good in my flesh. The only good thing about us is the one that resides in us. That Moses, when he encountered God at the burning bush, and God said, take away your shoes, you're standing on holy grounds. He probably thought, what? They're broken beer bottles and half-smoked marijuana, and you call it holy grounds? Why? Because he's in residence. Whatever your life has been, whatever your life is, when he's in residence, all heaven shall declare the glory of the living God. Who of us can say, I can make it on my own? No one. But we can make it because he's in residence. Whatever our background, whether it's sexual promiscuity or drugs or whatever, when he's in residence, Paul is able to say with absolute confidence, so were some of you. You were prostitutes and whoremongers, but I will present you to God as a chaste virgin. Why? Because he's in residence. Don't throw away your confidence. It has rich recompense of reward. And if you'll stay steady, even in the middle of everything going wrong, after the test of the word of God, the Bible says he commanded and he began to teach his counselors wisdom. Here is a prisoner from prison. Now teaching wisdom to the Egyptians. Why? Because prison is not your destiny, but prison is part of the pathway to your destiny. We all walk through the valley of Baca. But the valley of Baca is not the destiny. The destiny is God in Zion. All of us will appear before God in Zion. But before we do, we walk through the valley of tears. Don't throw away your confidence. It has rich recompense of reward. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If God's talking to you, just lift your hand. Hallelujah. And let me pray for us. Father, keep us safe in the palm of your hand. It's the safest place we can be. The only one who can take you and I out of the palm of God's hand is you. Not the devil, not the demonic, nobody. It's just you and I. We can take ourselves out. But if we will stay steady, Lord, I pray for everyone whose hand is uplifted. And Lord, that their confidence will be charged afresh this morning. We'll recapture what you've said. Encounter them afresh. Encounter them by your word. Hallelujah. And help us, Lord God. Help of the helpless, abide with me. Walk with us. You promise you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Bread of heaven, we come, we believe. We live and our thirst will be quenched. Bless your people. We give you honor today. You're a good God. In Jesus' name, amen.